No, I didn't. Thanks. Good evening, my friends. It's very nice sitting with you tonight. A special welcome to my friend Lisa in Missouri. Good to have you, Lisa. Lisa's been leading a sangha there in the middle of nowhere for over 10 years. So it's amazing. Missouri and Texas, you know. Who would have thunk it? But good to see you, Lisa. I wish you were in my home.
Thank you. Me too.
So tonight we're going to talk about intentions. Again, we can give John some credit for this because he brought it up last week. But the thing about intentions was that I looked at it in the experience of insight, like you were talking about, John, and it was on the seventh night that Joseph Goldstein taught intentions. So it's just right on time. So tonight, well, when I have one word like this, I go to Wikipedia because I'm always interested in what the rational mind has to say about some of these terms. And so Wiki says, is having an intention is nothing but having a desire to perform a certain action and a belief that one will perform this action. That's the simple version. But for the lesson, it's important for us to remember that the Buddha said quite clearly and many times that he taught one thing and one thing only. And that was suffering and its causes. And so we're meditating. He's teaching us. We're looking where we are suffering and what's causing it. And you know, I don't have to remind you, even though I have 1,000 times, but that's from where most of our suffering comes. From within. Actually, the mind. So an apt analogy for intentions is a knife in the hands of a surgeon or an assailant. Either one might use the knife to cut you, but one has the intention to help you, heal you, but the other has the intention to harm you. And you might die from the actions of either. So intention is the factor that differentiates them. So is intention important? And it might behoove all of us to ask ourselves, what are motivations behind anything we do or say? What's driving us? Because then we're getting to the nitty-gritty of intent. Intent is the truth. And so our intent tells the truth, and we've created much of our lives and its daily rhythms and the ego from our unmindful intentions. So the Buddha taught that there were three kinds of right intention. And let me remind you that right intention is sometimes called right thinking, but it happens to be the second of the Eightfold Path. So number one, and he says there's three of them and right intentions, but he also gives us one that counters the wrong intention. So first he tells us what the right intention is, the intention of renunciation, which it counters the intention of desire. And as we know what desire can do for us and with us if we don't know its true nature. So the real issue is not objects or possessions. Remember last week, I think it was, I told you about Randy and us putting the TV away because it was unholy. And then all we could do was look at TV wherever we saw it. Well, this is exactly what's being said. It's our attachment to them. So the attachment was still there. So thank goodness wisdom arose. So if we give away things but are still attached to them, we don't have to renounce them. Ram Dass used to say to us, hold on tightly, let go lightly. Hold on tightly, let go lightly. So the second one the Buddha talks about is the intention of goodwill, and which counters the intention, of course, of ill will. So another word for goodwill, especially relating to our practice, is metta, our loving kindness, which Randy enables us to practice every week. So we cultivate loving kindness for all beings. When we don't discriminate, we even include ourselves. Imagine that. And even maybe people we don't particularly like or care for. Unconditional love. And when we see ourselves clearly as human beings, then who's to blame? But So the third one, the intention of the intention of harmlessness, which counters the intention of harmfulness. And this is where compassion is required, of course, because harmlessness goes beyond simply not harming. And this is important. It's an active sympathy and a willingness to bear the pains of others. Now, you've heard me talk about where to hold your pains and the world's pain. Well, those aren't just words. That's an ancient practice, and it's magical. So we can hold the pain of the universe in our hearts. We have practiced open-heartedness. And we're not only holding the pain of the universe, we're holding our own pain. So see how that connects us? And how little that we know about pain, if we do let the pain go into the universe in a spacious way, it's not as painful as if we tighten ourselves around it. It's the same with holding the pain of the universe in our hearts, because we feel so helpless. Do you not feel helpless right now and somewhat limited to help our Ukrainian friends? It's awful. Randy's watched Twitter, live shots. I don't know how he does it, but it's most, most disturbing. But we can hold the suffering we're feeling directly, and we're feeling it within us anyway. There's the pain. For the suffering, we can hold it all, and then it becomes our suffering, our pain. not my suffering. See the difference? So we're recognizing their suffering. And remember how recognizing anything is important. It puts us into the present moment. We're recognizing their suffering as well as our own. And then it connects. Thich Nhat Hanh has suggested that there are four practices for right intention or right thinking. The first one, he says, just ask yourself, are you sure? Because wrong perceptions lead to incorrect thinking. He says, write this on a piece of paper and put it where you'll remember it. Another thing he says in working with right intention is ask yourself, what am I doing? And we have been practicing with that. It doesn't matter what the phrase is, but what is my state of mind at this moment? What's happening in this particular moment? And immediately it brings us back to the present moment. Another one, he says, is to recognize our habitual energies, our conditioning. Well, we do that. And, you know, we'll continue to do that because we get stuck in it. We get stuck in this conditioning, but we've learned how to wake up, and we do wake up. So he says when that happens, when your conditioning or your habits, he says, recognize them. He said, even name it, habit energy. Hello, habit energy. I see you. So he says to cultivate bodhicitta, and you hear this term more often in the Tibetan tradition. But it's compassion. It's a compassion that our enlightenment or our coming to wanting to wake up is for the benefit of all human beings. It becomes, Thich Nhat Hanh says, the purest of right intentions, and it keeps us on our spiritual path. So becoming aware of intention is the key to awakening in the moment. And in each situation that calls for our action, some inner intention will precede that response. And we're looking real, real closely at ourselves. And so Buddhist psychology explains that before every act, there is an intention. And though often the intention is unconscious. So haven't you heard these quotes before? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's a proverb we all grew up with. Daniel Wallace says this, a storyteller makes up things to help other people. A liar makes up things to help himself or herself. So we begin to notice when our intentions are not aligned in our actions. And that's deep insight. And the way that we are practicing with big mind, middle mind, whole body awareness, and the meditation, one we're doing right now, the sit-down meditation, yes, focusing on a very narrow. So we begin with those practices, begin to see what's behind what we're doing and what we're saying. And that's deep insight. Because it does become inner, we begin to see with this bringing intentions into our consciousness how interrelated the mind-body processes are working. And that's what we're doing anyway. We're studying ourselves to see how things operate, because that's wisdom. So they're like planting seeds without attachment. And so as meditators, we practice the metta. May I be happy. May you be happy. May they be happy. May we all be happy. And so these practices help us set our intentions for everyday living. Joseph Goldstein, he says this in his Experience of Insight, says intentions are not always thoughts in the mind, not always words. Sometimes they are experienced just as an urge, a signal that something is about to happen. You need not be looking for words or a sentence in the mind. Just be aware of that impulse to do something. And as you begin to notice how this cause and effect relationship is working in the mind and body, the concept of self dissolves into a simple and natural unfolding of the non-self. So for every event that occurs, there will follow another event whose existence was caused by the first. Seems important, huh? And this second event will be pleasant or unpleasant. And we've talked about that and when that happens too. And at that point, it depends upon what we do. That either frees us or creates more suffering. So I don't know about you, but I was raised to set goals. In fact, I think goals have helped me a lot to accomplish some things. But there's a big difference in setting intentions and goals. And as we well know, we just set ourselves up with goals, because automatically we set up striving. I've got to meet that goal. I got to beat that person. We're so competitive. And we set ourselves up for failure because we're striving to reach a goal. And when we don't do it, or don't reach it, then we just create more suffering for ourselves. So there's a big difference in setting intentions instead of setting goals. Now, of course, I'm not saying don't set goals, but notice our relationship with goals relative to intentions. So all our teachers say is on the spiritual journey, we need to set our compass, and Randy alluded to this, or actually said it, on a course of compassion and wisdom. What's motivating us? Compassion and wisdom. And to know the secret of who we really are. And so, does the world not need it? Would it not be helpful? And we're habit, we're habitual, we're conditioned, and we can step out of the unconscious habits and connect with our wise heart and begin to choose instead of just automatically react. Okay, I'm going to move along because I'm running out of time, but I do want to read this one thing. I could just find it. It's a Chinese Buddhist text describes these seeds that we can plant with intentions. From intention springs the deed. From the deed springs the habits. From the habits grow the character. From character develop destiny. If we practice being angry, the slightest insult to our little separate egos will trigger our rage. So, it's good news. Something to ponder. So, thank you for being good listeners, and we'll call Randy in and open it up to
Randy's
you.
Randy's in.
Randy's in.